claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. We've had so many developments this past week. Some of them are truly startling. I want to begin with Boris Johnson as he addressed the Parliament on Wednesday. Listen to what Boris had to say.
This morning, the Cabinet concluded that because of the extraordinary booster campaign, together with the way the public have responded to the Plan B measures, we can return to Plan A in England and allow Plan B regulations to expire. As a result, from the start of Thursday next week, mandatory certification will end. Organisations can, of course, choose to use the NHS COVID pass voluntarily, but we will end the compulsory use of COVID status certification in England. From now on, the government is no longer asking people to work from home. And people should now speak to their employers about arrangements for returning to the office. And having looked at the data carefully, the Cabinet concluded that once regulations lapse, the government will no longer mandate the wearing of face masks anywhere. Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, from tomorrow we will no longer require face masks in classrooms, and the Department for Education will shortly remove national guidance on their use in communal areas. In the country at large, we will continue to suggest the use of face coverings in enclosed or crowded spaces, particularly when you come into contact with people you don't normally meet, but we will trust the judgment of the British people and no longer criminalise anyone who chooses not to wear one. The government will also ease restrictions further on visits to care homes. And my right honourable friend, the Secretary of State for Health and Social Care, will set out plans in the coming days.
Well, that's pretty stunning stuff. Restrictions, including COVID-19 passes, mask mandates, work-from-home guides, will be removed in England. He suggested self-isolation rules will be thrown out at the end of March. That effective immediately, the UK government is no longer asking people to work from home. The COVID pass mandate for nightclubs and large events won't be renewed when it expires on January 26, just 2 days hence. From Thursday last, indoor mask wearing would no longer be compulsory anywhere in England. The requirement for secondary school pupils to wear masks during class and in communal areas will also be removed from the Department of Education's national guidance. Now, several circumstances appear to have affected what's taking place here, including that there's been a tremendous protest, including a petition with 200,000 signatures, which, considering the relative size of the UK population versus the US, is, I would say, on the order of 2 million here, demanding his resignation because of footage that showed up from number 10 Downing Street, which is the residence of the Prime Minister, having parties without wearing face masks at a very time that the public was being required to wear them, which has now been confirmed by the by the UK police department as having been authentic. This has caused a certain outrage. It's also the case that on the same day in Bath, the UK's first 5G operating system has been announced. The site is the first to deploy and comes in support of the government's goal to accelerate the development of the 5G system. The Vodafone, the name of the company, UK's chief network officer, Andrea Donat, carried out the first 5G video call. Actually, that was back on January 11th, but it's now gone full-fledged. We have an addition, and this may have made a greater difference here, that on the 6th of December, which just happens to be my birthday, a complaint was filed with the International Criminal Court. Listen to this. Based on the extensive claims and enclosed documentation, we charge those responsible for numerous violations of the Nuremberg Code, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and crimes of aggression in the United Kingdom, but are not limited to individuals in these countries. Joseph Mercola, not to be confused with Mengele, has published a summary where you can actually download the complaint on my blog. Will these people be charged with genocide? Here's his story at a glance. 7 applicants on behalf of the British population have filed a complaint with the International Criminal Court, accusing 16 individuals of genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and crimes of aggression. The 16 defendants include Dr. Anthony, Tony the Rat as I call him, Fauci, Dr. Peter Daszak, Bill and Melinda Gates, the CEOs of Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, and Johnson & Johnson, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, notably, along with several other British authorities, as well as the presidents of the Rockefeller Foundation and of the World Economic Forum. According to the ICC complaint, the 16 defendants have violated the Nuremberg Code in Articles 6, 7, 8, 15, 21, and 53 of the Rome Statute, where the Nuremberg Code is a set of medical research ethics principles that grew out of the doctor's trial in Nuremberg following World War II. The War Crimes Tribunal at Nuremberg established 10 standards to which doctors must conform when performing experiments on human subjects, the very first of which, of course, is informed consent. In other words, anyone who's been offered the opportunity to undergo an experimental medical procedure must be informed of all the risks as well as all the potential benefits and of the availability of alternative procedures that may be less intrusive, which in this instance would have included HCQ and ivermectin. The fact is that Pfizer and Moderna got the emergency use authorization, which incidentally does not require them to reveal the contents of their vaccines, while the CDC, FDA, NIH, WHO are conducting a massive campaign vilifying, denigrating, discounting ivermectin and HCQ as viable alternatives to the vax, which was completely outrageous and, in my opinion, establishes on its face the malice of this operation. When you have readily available and, in fact, actually cheap, inexpensive, over-the-counter medications, which have now been massively restricted and suppressed, there's no justification for an experimental vax. And among the risks that ought to have been given to anyone who would take the vax is that life insurance policies have a clause that exempts them for liability if any of those who have their policies undergo experimental medical procedures. So those who have taken the vax as an experimental medical procedure have, as I read it, thereby nullified their life insurance policies. And where we know recently, the CEO of one of the major life insurance policies. One America, which is based in Indiana, has observed that since the introduction of the vax, there's been a staggering increase in deaths, claims for, you know, life insurance, 40% increase, which he contrasts with, you know, how a mere 10% would have been expected to occur only once in 200 years. So when you have 40%, it's truly staggering. And he observes that that increase means a very staggeringly large number of deaths. So I believe that somewhere between these different factors, Boris found it incumbent to go ahead and relieve the British population of what they call their Plan B, which had all of these additional requirements with regards to face masks and vaccine passports and so forth. Now, a key player in relation to the International Criminal Court complaint is Dr. Yerdon, Ralph Yerdon, who is a vice president of Pfizer for research, who has been complaining that the protocols that are being imposed are highly inappropriate. He's obviously gone further now to be a principal proponent for the complaint. It includes here in Dr. McCullough's summary that the new findings will dismantle the entire vaccine industry. In a January 1st, 2022 announcement, Dr. Rainer Fulmuck, a U.S. German consumer protection trial lawyer and co-founder of the German Corona Extra Parliamentary Inquiry Committee, launched on July 10th of 2020, announced the data they now have in their possession is enough to dismantle the entire vaccine industry. Fulmuck is heading up the committee's Corona Crisis tort case. Initially, the committee focused on exposing the PCR test fraud, but now they also have evidence that the vaccine makers were using different lot numbers to carry out an experiment within an experiment unbeknownst to the public. According to Fulmuck, it looks like an experiment to determine the dosage needed to kill and or maim people. In other words, people have not been getting identical products. Different lots or batches contain different dosages and even different ingredients. There is inescapable evidence, in my view as a lawyer, of there being a premeditation, Dr. Rainer Fulmuck. Guy is fantastic. Meanwhile, the political situation here in the United States is so dreadful for Joe Biden that they have to do something desperate to fix it. Here's an article from yesterday. NBC releases poll showing a complete collapse in support for Biden from independent voters. Keep in mind that NBC polls are done by Mark Murray, a notorious manipulative pollster for media scripts. As a result, when NBC presents a bad polling outcome for any Democrat, you can be positive the outcome is far worse. In addition to the 54% disapproval, 43% approval top line results, which is a much higher number of approval and, in my opinion, reflects the manipulation to which the allusion has been made, the NBC result shows approval of Joe Biden declined among independents from 68% in April to 36% now, blacks from 83% to 64%, those ages 18 to 34 from 56% to 40%, Latinos 59% to 48%, and women 61% to 51%. Even Chuck Todd cannot spin it. So here we have the image of Chuck with a graph showing job performance better than expected 5%, worse than expected 36%. The White House, via Rob Klain, will try to put the Biden failures on Donald Trump. However, it's clear the American people are holding Joe Biden accountable for his own policies and results. Here's another of the graphs Chuck Todd has shown. Is the country, the direction of the country on the wrong track or the right? Wrong track, 72%. Right track, 22%. That, by the way, is a usually reliable indicator of the outcome of the very next election. So I would suggest this is indicative of how bad a situation Biden is in, where they must do something to try to recapture control of the narrative, or they're going to go down to resounding defeat. Frankly, I don't believe there's a thing they can do that will not lead them to go down to resounding defeat. But they're going to try to make an effort now, given, and this is particularly important to note, the failure of their effort to pass these voting rights acts, which are grossly miscalled, mislabeled for political purposes, of course, to federalize all of these elections so they're no longer run by the state, and where they abandon any ID requirement. This is where they, you know, issue the claim that the present laws are discriminatory, because they actually expect you to be able to prove that you are eligible to vote. Well, the Democrats want to do away with that, and they want to mandate universal mail-in balloting, which would mean anyone could submit any number of votes, and since it doesn't require any ID for any candidate they want. In other words, we're talking about a method that the Democrats want to implement that is going to allow them to steal one election after another. I noted the day after that we had gruesome news from Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi all talking now about funding the police as though they'd had nothing to do with the whole program to defund the police, which has had rather catastrophic consequences, including millions of first-time gun owners who recognize that if the police are unavailable to protect them, it's up to themselves to protect themselves, and they have done it by going out and buying guns. Studies have shown that, indeed, the murder rate in the politics of the United States are directly correlated, where the overwhelming majority of murders occur in areas that are controlled by the Democrats, where their gun control policies create free fire zones for criminals who, of course, aren't going to give up their guns. I mean, they break the law. That's why they're criminals. So that the Democrats are just extremely naive in all their attitudes here. They obviously haven't done their homework, and they're promoting policies that are self-defeating. Well, now what's going on here? Pandemic narrative undergoes radical U-turn. This also was authored by Joe Mercola, and you can also find it on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. Story at a glance. In recent days, the pandemic narrative has undergone a remarkable number of U-turns. On January 9th, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky sent out a tweet saying, "We must protect people with comorbidities from severe COVID-19. In other words, focus protection, which is what tens of thousands of doctors have been calling for since the creation of the Great Barrington Declaration in early October of 2020. October of 2020. Now they're getting around to it. On January 10th, she admitted the COVID shots cannot prevent transmission. Think about it. We were told they're safe and effective. They prevent transmission. They cure it if you've got it. They prevent it if you don't. That's what we were told. Those turn out to be true of HCQ and even ivermectin, but not true of the vax, which is actually deadly, causing staggering numbers of medical maladies. For example, the World Health Organization has a database of adverse effects that has over 2 million cases of adverse effects. And what's especially striking is these have all occurred since the introduction of the vax. The year before, there were only 2,000. So there's been a 1,000-fold increase in adverse effects since the introduction of the vax. Indeed, if you looked at a hockey stick on the side, it's just like that, flat all the way up to the introduction of the vax, and then it skyrockets. The CDC is now saying you should not retest once you've recovered from COVID, as a PCR test can provide false positives for up to 12 weeks after the infection has been resolved. They're also cutting the isolation requirement from 10 days to just 5. Because the PCR test can provide false positives for up to 12 weeks after the infection has been resolved. Indeed, we know the PCR test is essentially useless, and it generates about 97% false positives, that the inventor, Kerry Mullis, was emphatic that it was not to be used for diagnostic purposes. The sole purpose of the PCR, properly understood, is to multiply a sample. Take a minuscule or extremely small sample. The PCR test allows you to multiply it so that you have more to deal with in terms of raw material. That is the purpose of the PCR, not to diagnose. And we know if you, because it operates on different frequencies, if you turn up the frequencies above a certain level, as the CDC has been recommending, then you're guaranteed to get a false positive, which is why in the beginning Hillary was saying, test, 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 we want more tests, and why the Biden administration is now mailing out millions or making available millions of free tests. The tests have been the basis for the whole fraud and deception. Remember, the year before there were 38 million cases of the flu. The year they introduced the pandemic, only 2,000. They took 37,998,000 cases of the flu as a rough approximation and relabeled them as COVID to promote the hysteria of a mass pandemic, which has been unceasing, unrelenting. But now they're seeking to scale it back. The narrative is also... they're also cutting the isolation requirement from 10 to just 5 days, probably because the failing economy is hurting Biden's approval rating, so they need people to work. The narrative is also changing on what makes for a COVID case and how deaths are counted. Walensky recently admitted about 40% of COVID patients tested positive but do not have symptoms and are hospitalized for something else. She'd also promised to deliver data on how many people have actually died from COVID and how many have died with it, where Edward Henry and John Rappaport have been completely sensational in making that point over and over again. Now listen to this. In a January 10, 2022 blog, Jeff Chandler's an attorney and a very smart guy, presents an hypothesis for why we may be looking at the end of the pandemic, as the administration has no reasonable alternative but to wrap this whole thing up in the next 60 days or so. Quote, there's an interesting political dynamic shaping up, a kind of political vice grip that might just be driving federal COVID policy toward authenticity and an end to the pandemic. A lot of reality has been breaking through lately. He points out how a federal judge recently ordered the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to release the Pfizer jab data that the agency wanted 75 years to release. The bulk of that data is now due on March 1st, 2021, the day of Biden's State of the Union address. Chandler suspects the Pfizer documents will contain plenty of counter narrative folder and politically embarrassing detail, and let me mention, that's going to include that hundreds of pregnant women were included in the trial, and every one of them, 100%, lost their pregnancy. 100% lost their pregnancy. So, there seems to be a lot of momentum surging in the direction of ending the pandemic. If I'm right, we're going to see even more of this, and pretty quickly, since Biden has to wrap it up in time to declare victory on March 1st. In short, I suspect most, if not all, of the recent changes in COVID guidance is to build a narrative that the Biden administration has successfully brought the pandemic under control and reestablished a working economy. The change in narrative is based on political strategy, not science or medicine. In other words, I believe Boris stole Biden's thunder that Biden, on his State of the Union address, is going to relieve all of the same restrictions that did Boris Johnson in the UK and declare that he has been successful in defeating the virus in the hope that that's going to bring voters back to his support. I think it's very unlikely to work for a whole host of reasons. Biden has been so massively discredited on so many levels, including the open borders, including the supply chain problems, including the bungled withdrawal from Afghanistan. I don't believe anyone takes this guy seriously. Indeed, here's another poll proving the Democrats have gone full authoritarian. The radicalism cannot be overstated. Policies that were unthinkable less than a decade ago are being implemented. Now a shocking poll proves Democrats have gone full authoritarian, where the pandemic has brought out that streak. Their so-called support of civil liberties went out the window in the face of COVID. They've used the virus to sow division and grab more power. Left-wing voters are blithely going along with it. But a Rasmussen poll shows nearly half of Democrats are actually in favor of jailing people who resist COVID restrictions in any way. On the question, should federal and state governments be able to fine or imprison people who publicly question the efficacy of the existing COVID-19 vaccines on social media, television, radio, or online or digital publications, a bone-chilling 48% of Democrats answered in the affirmative. Completely insane. We'll be right back after this break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I'm delighted to say that I have a special guest today, Orlando Owens by name, who's involved in Wisconsin politics. He's currently running for the office of treasurer of the state. Orlando has a reputation as a dynamic speaker and knows a great deal about what's going on here, including, it appears, the machinations about Speaker Vose here trying to trash efforts by a former Supreme Court justice named Gableman to sort out how the election was stolen in Wisconsin.
Orlando.
Orlando, oh. I'm delighted to have you here. Have we got it? Orlando, are you there?
He was here, and then evidently he left, Jim. Maybe it's not the right number. I'm not sure. I can't say.
I gave you a second number if you look above. I mean, I'm really kind of baffled. Okay. Well, in the absence of Orlando, and we'll bring him in if we have the opportunity, as most of you are aware, I'm a great enthusiast for Tucker Carlson. His show on Fox is one that I make an effort to never miss. Here's a sample illustration of what Tucker's been covering of late.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. We want to begin by noting something obvious because this is the obvious show. If you live in the United States, you may have noticed that many of our public spaces have become permanent homeless encampments. You see trash-filled tents blotting out what were once green and tidy public parks. You step over vagrants drooling unconscious on the steps of train stations on the way to work. You watch as junkies smoke meth without any embarrassment at all and then yell at pedestrians on the sidewalk, maybe at your children. Everywhere, at every intersection, there are beggars. It's what we used to imagine India was like, but this is not Calcutta. This is New York, San Francisco, and Austin,
Hello?
Texas. So the question is...
Stand by, Orlando.
And the short answer is, leaders did this. No matter what they tell you, homelessness is not an act of God. It's not the result of economic collapse in this country. America did not run out of housing. Instead, a determined group of well-funded ideologues decided to make it easier to live on the streets in this country while doing drugs. Therefore, many more people now live on the streets while doing drugs. See? Not complicated. In 2005, an unemployed alcoholic called Basil Humphrey enrolled in a rehab program in Boise, Idaho. When Humphrey refused to stop drinking, the rescue mission kicked him out. Those were the rules. and he spent months sleeping outside, as so many do. Eventually, local authorities ticketed him for camping on public property. That was the law. The story would have ended there, except that a huge corporate law firm in New York City called Latham & Watkins took an interest in the case on the other side of the country. Now, typically, Latham & Watkins represents Wall Street banks and prominent Democratic office holders. But the firm wanted to change vagrancy laws to increase homelessness. Why did they want that? We don't know. But the firm filed a lawsuit on Basil Humphrey's behalf against the city of Boise. That suit made it to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. In 2018, the court declared that cities have no right to criminalize homelessness. In fact, the court ruled cities have an obligation to provide free housing to the homeless at public expense. The Supreme Court later upheld that ruling. The case was known as Martin versus Boise, and it had
Tucker has so many brilliant things to do, but I'm simply delighted now that we have been joined from This Is Milwaukee, Orlando Owens, who has a reputation as a dynamic speaker, bears a certain physical resemblance to Shaquille O'Neal. Have you ever heard that suggestion before, Orlando?
Never.
Never. Well, your physical size, you know, and general appearance are suggestive, but I like your look, Orlando. Now, listen, Rolf recommended you as having a keen understanding of what's going on here with all the machinations of Wisconsin, where our former Supreme Court Justice Gableman has been trying to sort things out. And it appears that Speaker Vos has been trying to thwart it. He's even reassigned all of Representative Timothy Rathen's staff to a Republican representative friendly. We heard from your sources, Vos's operation even removed his chief of staff, who was home tending a sick child. Tell us, what the hell is going on here? I mean, Tony Evers obviously is a pathetic governor. The Democrat establishment appears to be just as corrupt in Wisconsin as elsewhere. But I'm keen on your views. What is going on?
Well, let me first say thank you for letting me come on your show today. I'm always energized to be around more free-thinking, conservative, American-loving patriots. So thank you so much for letting me come on. I think that the temperature was going on in Wisconsin is just kind of a general frustration from what happened in the last election with the presidential election, what we see, you know, going on in from out of D.C. and, you know, and what's this kind of.
What happened? We lost Orlando. Not good. Let me fill in. No doubt we'll get him right back. He was just
looks like he just got he got kicked, Jim. So I hear he's calling back.
Orlando.
Yeah, I think it was my Shaquille O'Neal jawbone that disconnected us.
Go ahead.
But I think it's just a general frustration that you see things bubbling up also on the state level from the, you know, the mask mandate. So we're just in a really pivotal time right now. And, you know, election integrity is on top of mind for everybody because, yes, so many conservatives, Republicans, white of center people who are just concerned about the, you know, the integrity of the voting, and so much is on the line. And so you have a lot of different fractions moving in a certain direction, hoping to get to the bottom of the investigation. And you have this audit going on. You have this forensic audit. You have that. So I think there are a lot of moving parts. My prayer is that they're all moving in the same direction, which is let's get to the bottom of what happened as soon as we can.
Well, what are your thoughts about the state of the, you know, the election of 2020? I mean, I've been reporting evidence, proof after proof of massive electoral fraud. Milwaukee, where you reside, appears to have been a part of it, meaning, as I was told by Richard Charnin, who's a brilliant statistician, if you're going to steal the election, you have to go where the votes are. And it appears in this case that they went to the largest cities in Wisconsin, including, of course, Milwaukee, the largest, to do that. What's your take on the state of, the integrity of the election of 2020 and what's happened here in Wisconsin specifically?
Well, clearly we see that there definitely were some shenanigans, some manipulation that happened, you know, from the stay-at-home order. Definitely the confined option provision that was allowed by the Election Oversight Committee here in the state that gave so many people the opportunity to vote from home without providing a voter ID, which is state law here in Wisconsin. You had just the number of, you know, voter ballot harvesting events in the park. You know, you have the ballot curing process that happened actually inside of the election offices that people were able to, you know, fill in people, you know, intent supposedly. You have, you know, the nursing home situation. I'm quite certain you've done a thorough job of what happened with our sheriff down here. Mercine, who did an incredible job of just laying out this, these very, very questionable activities. So I would agree we definitely have a problem. And getting to the bottom of it, I think that's where we all are. And we're asking people, you know, and I'm running for office and I get it. One of the things I say on the campaign trail is that I'm asking people to give me their vote and support in a system that they don't fully trust or believe in. So it sounds like a typical politician. I'm talking out both sides of my mouth. So I get it, but I know what I do also know for certain that if we don't participate, we will surely lose. Surely we will lose.
Yes, 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 of course. Absolutely. 100%. Right. The system is corrupt, but we got to do the best we can to manage with what we have available. Now, what I find so damn puzzling about this situation is that Robin Voss, who's a Speaker of the House, is himself a Republican. And you would think that he would be eager to expose the corruption, but in fact, he's going after Representative Ramthan, who's been on fire, calling out politicians, explaining to his followers and supporters in press releases how the state laws were broken in the 2020 election by the Wisconsin Election Commission, and that he believes Robin Voss's election investigation, the one the speaker himself is running, is a sham, nothing more than a cover-up to run out the clock. Those all sound right to me, frankly, Orlando, and I'm therefore very concerned. What's the deal here with Speaker Voss?
Again, I think there are a lot of investigations going on. Not only is the speaker has an investigation, our state senate has an investigation. We have a gubernatorial candidate, Rebecca Clapis, has an investigation that she's suing WEC, you know, WEC here in Wisconsin. So I think, unfortunately, we have us being conservative. We have a nature about us that, you know, we kind of do our own thing. And I think Robin Voss, the speaker, has a way that he wants to proceed in the investigation. I think there are so many people that also have another way they want to move forward. My hope is that we get to the bottom of it. Whatever pathway we take, let's do whatever it takes to restore the people's belief in the system. So I'm for whatever you deem a forensic. I'm for if you want to look at the machines. I'm for looking at the obvious, clear skirting of the law as far as voter ID and definitely can find. I think there's a lot of moving parts here that we definitely need to get to the bottom of. Do we have enough time? That's going to be the question. I think as conservatives, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. I think we need to have a robust election day watcher program that I know we're blowing some numbers out here the first time ever in our state. The number of people who want to participate on election day and also to be observers and poll watchers. So I think we're going to have a much more intense presence of the week leading up to the election, to the election day and thereafter. So I don't know if there's one way to the promised land, but I do appreciate all the effort. I'm hoping that Speaker Voss and Representative Rathman can find some common ground. I'll be honest with you, Fred. I'm not going to be, naive to say that we don't have some fractures in our conservative movement. We have some fractures between the Patriot groups and the county party. we have fractions between just the lay voter and any group meeting as far as conservative, be a patriot group or a county party. You have a county party in fraction with the state party. You have a state party that's somewhat in fraction with the national party. My hopes, again, is that we can find ourselves to bring ourselves together, because what we cannot happen, what cannot happen, is that we allow the fractures in this conservative family to tear us apart so much that the left kind of just waltzes in. We have to be able to coalesce and come together. I'm for a robust primary. I think it's okay. I think I don't like when it gets personal, because you can push people so hard, and then they'll never come back. I think that's the risk you run if the rhetoric gets so high that I'm a patriot candidate and this person's a rhino, this person's not a true conservative. We run the rhetoric up so high, it becomes very hard for people to coalesce at the end of the primary in order for us to focus on a general election.
Orlando, here's a story about Speaker Voss that was published only yesterday. The Gateway Pundit, which is an excellent source, has published the following. Wisconsin's Republican Speaker Voss is trying to push a bill through Wisconsin's Senate that increases the number of drop boxes in the state. This is after a judge recently ruled that they are illegal in the state. Republican Speaker Voss is not a friend of the people of Wisconsin or the people of America. After the Democrats stole the 2020 election in the state of Wisconsin, Voss vowed to get to the bottom of it, but he never did. He said this over and over, but he never did a thing. He finally appointed a retired judge to look into the election, but it was too little too late. That investigation by Judge Gableman is still ongoing, and time is running out. We previously reported that Voss was good friends with former Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, who despised President Trump. In December of 2020, we uncovered that Speaker Voss was behind the use of drop boxes in Wisconsin, a favorite vehicle for the left for stealing elections, because you can load the drop boxes with any number of ballots, or you can take them and change the contents. I mean, it's outrageous. Hillary's attorney, Mike Elias, in a case against the legality of drop boxes used in Wisconsin in the 2020 election, provided documentation showing Speaker Voss wholeheartedly supported the use of drop boxes, no doubt citing him because he was a Republican, to justify the use of drop boxes in the election. This was an action that must go through the legislature, but Voss supported their use in the state without having the authority to do it. I'm concerned here on several grounds. I've supposed, and I hope I'm not naive about this, that Gableman was running a legitimate investigation, but any involvement in Voss here has me completely baffled and profoundly disturbed, Orlando. Voss doesn't look like he's a bona fide Republican. He looks more like a rhino and a dirty dealer. And there are earlier reports about Voss that are highly unflattering from years past. Just give us your take of what's going on here. Do we have a legitimate investigation into the theft of the election of 2020 in Wisconsin, or do we not?
Well, you know, me running for state treasurer here in the state of Wisconsin, I'm definitely a supporter of Ronald Reagan's 11th Commandment, that I think we need to come together. I think Robin Voss, you know, currently has some challenges, no doubt that. I think there are some issues that Robin needs to make his thought path and his thinking clear to the people. I think we look over the things that we've done here in our great state of Wisconsin, from early 2010. We passed one of the most transformative pieces of legislation around voter integrity. It was called voter ID that went to the United States Supreme Court, and we won that. We passed Castle Doctrine here in Wisconsin. We passed concealed carry. We've lifted the caps on school choice here in Wisconsin. We passed right to work here in Wisconsin. We lived through a recall. And we did all those things as a collective conservative movement. We all didn't agree, but we came together and we fought for those things. And we have to be very, very conscious of those battles that Robin Voss was a part of himself during that time, that we came together collectively. During that time, it was a Tea Party. And we found a way. Even my current boss, I work for U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, my current boss came out of the Tea Party movement. but we coalesce behind the idea of conservatism and the idea of the Constitution. So I am definitely concerned about, you know, transparency in thinking and making your thought always clear to people. I know that even Robin Voss talked about drop boxes. I think sometimes ideas may sound good on paper until you put them in application, and sometimes they come back to bite you and say, well, that wasn't a good idea. I think even Raffin himself has proposed some form of drop boxes himself in legislation. Again, I think maybe generally now, hindsight being 2020, drop boxes willy-nilly all over the city probably isn't a good idea. Is a drop box at the election commission or at the election office or the clerk office, would that be something more acceptable? You know, let's have the discussion. But again, if we are not fully aware that if we do not pull together this coalition of freedom fighters and conservatives and Republicans, we will surely lose to the left. So I'm concerned with only a few months left here in the state of Wisconsin before our state party gives the endorsement of the candidates who are running. I'm concerned that we only have, you know, after our state convention in March, we only have a few more months until the primary, and from the primary to the general. We as conservatives must have a bigger disdain for the other side than for us to have a disdain amongst each other, because we all want, as conservatives, we all want to agree. Take it from a guy who's not perfect. You know, I've lived a life, my friend. I've been married before and lost a marriage. I lost my businesses. I lost my home. But only in this great country called America, that my redemptive story and the belief in God can my story be made true. That despite all the things I didn't do right or didn't get right, through God's grace and mercy in America, 15 years later, I'm remarried for the second time. I work for one of the most rock-solid conservative senators ever, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. And by the way, I taught him everything he knows. Just ask him. And then I'm blessed, my friend. My son, I got a 9-month-old baby named Chandler that turned 9 months today, and I'm 47 years old. So I believe in the power of God, and I believe in the power of unity. Yes, it's okay to have a little dust primary. Yes, some ideas don't always make sense sometimes, and we got to flush them out. I'm just more concerned that we need to hold our conservative movement together. We have to understand that the Republican Party is nothing more than a vehicle, almost like an automobile, that inside that vehicle, it is full of conservatives. We are the Big Ten Party. And yes, we don't always get along together. Sometimes we fuss and we fight, but in the end, we are family. We are family. We have to remember that. And for the people here in Wisconsin, I don't know what state others have had, we've been through a great battle here in our state. And we need not to forget about those battles. For those battles, we have a luxury of freedoms that we have today. And too many people have gotten a shortened memory of all the battles we have fought together once we came together and focused on truly freedom and not trying to be so divisive among each other.
Orlando, I'm a huge fan of Ron Johnson. When he was first elected, I may have been skeptical, but I've become a true believer. I think he's doing a fabulous job, and he's been exposing, you know, the corruption of these vax mandates. It turns out that Friday, a federal judge in Texas ruled the Biden administration cannot enforce its vaccine mandate for federal employees, issuing an injunction that halts a retirement nationwide. Judge Jeffrey Brown found the president had no legal authority to require feds to get vaccinated, saying that while he has broad power over federal employment practices, those authorities aren't sweeping enough to justify the September executive order that implemented the requirement. I appreciated your observation that everything Ron Johnson knows, he learned from you. I find that very amusing. Yes. Give us your thoughts here about these vaccines, the mandates, and the whole COVID fiasco. Your thoughts.
Well, from a person who has had COVID twice, who's not vaccinated, it is my choice to do that. I believe, like most conservatives do, that it should be a decision left up to the individual, between the individual, their doctor, and the Lord. I don't support mandates in any form. I think we now have enough information to say that even the vaccinations don't work the way they initially sold the people on. And they told us at one time, you get the vaccination, you're going to be cured, and you'll be, you know, kind of, you know, you'll be bulletproof. But we now see that the vaccinations don't really work in well, but they can be helpful. And, you know, in a case-by-case scenario, if you are a person that falls in some of those high-risk categories, you might want to consider it. If you're not, you know, in the end, it's ultimately yours. I believe in health and medical freedom. Ron Johnson is one of the ones who actually sponsored a bill called Right to Try, you know, medicines and procedures that maybe, you know, others may have not taken, but gave the right and the people themselves who are going through those issues the freedom to say, I want to try this. And so, yeah, I'm not for mandates, man. I'm running for state treasurer. One of the things that I'm fully against of any entity contracting with the state of Wisconsin, any business doing business with the state of Wisconsin who is making their employees take vaccinations through a mandate, I will not be signing those reimbursement checks at all as a next state treasurer. If I'm blessed to be the next state treasurer, I will not be signing those checks. I will not be signing checks of any organization that provides abortion on demand who contracts with the state of Wisconsin. I'm not signing those checks. As a minister who is someone who is less than perfect, because God works on me every day, I just cannot support that. Also, any school, any entity that is providing or teaching critical race theory in any form, way, or fashion, I will not be reimbursing those checks either. And now here in the state of Wisconsin, our treasurer doesn't have a lot of power because both Republicans and Democrats have taken away a lot of those authorities. But the few authorities I do have, I want to make sure I execute those to the fullest of my ability. But also I'm going to be an advocate for the things we need to be doing, focusing on workforce development, job development. I'm one of the co-founders of the Joseph Project here in Wisconsin. I'm Milwaukee with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and my dear friend who passed away about 8 months ago, Pastor Jerome Smith. The Joseph Project is an inner city jobs program that we help young men, black, white, and poor. Don't make a difference. White, poor as well. Poor is poor. To find great manufacturing jobs with high wages. Because I believe that the true mark of freedom really is having economic freedom. As we knock on the door of, you know, February, Black History Month, there's going to be a robust discussion of what is true black history versus what is CRT. I'm looking forward for Black History to come around because I'm ready to have those battles with those Marxists who want to support CRT and the 1619 Project. I'm ready for having a debate. Bring on February.
Well, I'm eager to forget your expansion on that. Critical race theory has been promoted by the Democrats as gospel. I mean, it's absurd because it gives such a distorted history of the United States. A friend of... We'll be right back with Orlando Owens after this break.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried.
tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio. 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 Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, my special guest today, Orlando Owens, is from Milwaukee, and he's running for state treasurer as a conservative Republican. And, Orlando, I'm very interested in your take on a couple of events in Kenosha and Waukesha, where I have no doubt you have opinions. I've covered them extensively, but I'm eager to get your views as a black political figure right here in Wisconsin, residing in Milwaukee. What's your take on what happened in Kenosha in the first place, and then Waukesha involving this Daryl Brooks, who was out on $1,000 bail, even though the offenses for which he was being held, including running over his girlfriend with his SUV, which he then used to plow through a parade in Waukesha. Your thoughts?
Well, I think first that, you know, the tragedies that happened in, you know, in the Racine, Kenosha area, you know, is just bad. But I believe, you know, first and foremost that the situation that kind of the domino of a young man who was, you know, couldn't be calmed down, couldn't get under control, that caused for police contact. I'm more concerned about the victim that no one's talking about in the Kenosha area, that the young man, you know, is being caught, going back to the victim who he tried to sexually assault. And the police tried to reason, tried to use every non-lethal, you know, tool they could. And it ended with him being, Jacob Blake being shot in the back, right? I look at that situation and try to put myself in those officers' shoes and say, they tried just about everything to de-escalate, you know, and it ended, you know, unfortunately, but then you had a very, very careless and reckless governor and careless and reckless lieutenant governor to jump to the position of another unarmed black man being unduly shot. This young man had a knife. This young man was basically, you know, having a domestic violence situation with children engaged. And we had just a few days, right before the end of this year in 2021, that a young man killed the mother, killed his girlfriend, killed the son of the mother, and killed himself. The domestic situations are real. Officers don't have, it's probably one of the most volatile situations to go into is the domestic one, because the temperature is so high and the emotion is so high. And so I look at that situation, it was unfortunate that, but the thereafter made it things worse. You had a governor that let Kenosha burn for like 2 or 3 days, you know, and no calling up of the National Guard, and left them kind of this twisting in the wind, and let people had to figure out for themselves what to do in a very chaotic scene. And that's unfortunate that you found the Rittenhouse, which I believe from the very first time I saw the video, that it was clearly self-defense. Tragic that some people lost lives, but nonetheless, it is the reason why we have the self-defense laws and, that we have on the books. I think what happened in Kenosha is also what happened in Waukesha are very similar. You have a low bail, no bail, soft on crime, philosophy, even by some conservative judges who are also part of the Waukesha, you know, system, that we had a liberal leaning DA here, DA Chisholm, who's been residing over in Milwaukee for over 15, 20 years. And you see the outpouring now on the byproduct of a liberal progressive ideology from the school system to the economic system to the judicial system and to the, you know, probation parole. You see, it is all unfolding. If you ever wanted to understand what is a Marxist society looks like, let's turn to some of your inner cities. Milwaukee, yeah, we see it, that there's no one working. We just had, I don't know if you're following this story, we got 6 people who were executed, you know, that they're investigating right now, almost like a gangland shooting. And they don't know what happened, but it's a known drug house. But 6 people are dead. We had 21 murders. I think someone put up a meme, 21 murders in 23 days in this year alone already. And we have nothing coming from this governor, nothing coming from the Attorney General Josh Call, nothing coming from this local DA, DA Chisholm, nothing coming from this interim mayor here, nothing but more Democrat cover. You should see the attacks I have on Facebook when I posted what I said about all of these victims that are being killed. And I say, you know, pray for the families. And then I light into the idea of this is what failure looks like. Democratic policy. I'm a black man living in mostly all, you know, primarily minority city. Democrat city. And then I'm being attacked because they're more concerned about me highlighting the failures of liberal progressive ideas than, you know, than the actual victims themselves. You have a school system that young people cannot read or write. And what do you think they're going to do upon they turn 17 or 18 or before? We have a carjacking situation. We have all the things that this reek of the failure of progressivism is right now happening in most of our major cities, and not only, you know, but also here in Milwaukee. So I'm, as you know, if you can't tell, I get a little excited because my iris is getting up because I love my country. I love the idea of freedom. I love the idea of liberty. And America may not be perfect. You find me a country that is, but I can tell you that America is the best. We didn't see people in Afghanistan running away from those planes. They ran towards the plane. We have people pouring into our borders every day. Running, if this country is so-called racist country, why would these people who are minorities run to this racist country? I'm just fed up, quite honestly. I'm kind of ticked off, and I'm tired. I'm going to speak my mind, and I'm going to speak truth to power, as the left likes to say. I'm going to speak truth to power because what we have here right now is nothing more than a modern day locking down of political ideas and philosophies that these Democrats in the city, all these white liberals are some of the most racist people ever. White liberals think they're blacker than me. The problem is I'm just more American than they are. I'm sorry, my friend. I'm getting my Irish up. Please forgive me.
No, Orlando, I agree with you 100%. It's white liberals are racist, and they accuse the Republicans. I mean, it's just outrageous. This critical race theory is an insult to every American. The idea of dividing the nation into the oppressors and the oppressed, I mean, it bears no relationship to the history of the United States, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and a host of other issues. There seems to be a failure to understand that these anti-discrimination laws apply whether you're discriminating against blacks or Asians or Native Americans or whites. They don't seem to understand. They're promoting anti-white racism and discrimination, which is just as objectionable under the Constitution as anti-black, and where they really need to get real with the facts in the history of the United States. I am frankly shocked. I appreciate exactly the passion you're showing here, because in my opinion, this attitude and views that Democrats have been promoting are offensive and ought to be rejected by every American. I mean, the failure to understand the Constitution and what it means for every single person, it's outrageous, Orlando.
Well, again, I'm just a young man who, you know, my grandfather's a Marine, my dad's a Marine, and my uncle's a Marine. I guess you can call me a son of a gun. I've made my mistakes before in life. I'm not perfect by any stretch of imagination, but I understand what it means to be free, and I want my freedom. I want my freedom, and I want my liberties, and I'm not allowing the left to confuse black and brown and poor people that they are saviors of the black, the brown, and the oppressed white people. I'm not going to do that, because again, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the whole idea of the, you know, critical race is not even a biblical idea, because the word of God says that we are all fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image. Historically, if you want to be from a historical standpoint, at least half of the founding fathers were against the idea of slavery. There was a party that was created right here in the great state of Wisconsin, in Ripon, Wisconsin, that was the first freedom movement. That movement was called Republicans. And yeah, we still to this day, we marched in the 60s. We had our fist up in the street saying that these laws, these racist Jim Crow laws, were wrong. The problem with the CRT supporters is they don't want to talk about that history, because it goes against the narrative, because that history reveals the racist policy of their cousins, which are all the white liberal Democrats. Because again, if you want to tell the truth and shame the devil, tell the people who are the ones who actually fought and died. America is the only country that fought against slavery. As an institution of slavery was, that every country for the most part participated in. The American slavery was not unique. It is the same slavery that even Africans participated in. I mean, again, if you're going to tell the story, tell the whole story. It is an ugly institution that every country participated in. But America was the only one that went to war with itself. And those people that went to war with itself, that led us to charge for freedom, they were Republicans that led the way. But unfortunately, you know, we got to talk about white privilege. And all you racist white people who are conservatives, you don't have white privilege. What you have is God's blessing. I have God's blessing. Anyone that put God first, we're blessed by him. And we have allowed the left to make us ashamed of the blessing of God because they don't believe. That's how far our country has, you know, been pulled to the left. That we now have to be ashamed of God blessing us to have a strong back and a work ethic, or having an idea and I want to start a business and pass that business on to my children. We are now being forced to be ashamed of God. We need to stand up, freedom lovers. We have to take account. And our country right now and our ideas of liberty and freedom are definitely under attack.
Oh, you got that exactly right. Tell me more about Del Brooks and the DA in right there in Milwaukee where you reside. I mean, his view appears to be that bail is racist. He's publicly declared that he knows his policies of minimizing or letting those who are indicted out without even having to post bail are going to lead to adverse effects. Some people he's even admitted are going to die, but he thinks it's worth it. I mean, Orlando, this is outrageous. He lets this guy out and then he plows his SUV through a parade of marchers to celebrate Christmas in Waukesha. I have very strong opinions about this guy. What can we do about this?
Well, I'm for, you know, people having second and third chances, people who are deserving of that, and people who have expressed the idea of they appreciate the opportunity. What we have here is a failed bail system. We have court commissioners who are basically hired by elected officials, the judges, and these judges in Milwaukee County are very progressive and liberal. But the ideas, again, because Darrell Brooks also has a track record in Waukesha, and some of the same type of ideas and DAs were also found in one of the most conservative counties in our state. So it is pervasive that we have you know, these things happening in our court system. And then you look at the back end, which is, you know, the front end, which is the bail, you know, the bail provision that is totally broken. And then you look at the back end, which is the probation and supervisory, extended supervisory, you know, provision. A lot of these young men and women are either out on bail or on some form of probation. To me, it reeks of how the system is broken. We need to unleash our probation officers and give them the ability to do their jobs when they find people who are violating their conditions. We need to allow our police officers to do and have a strong police presence. The reason why we have so much crime, and this is no excuses for bad behavior, because I don't like bad or criminal behavior. But let's be clear. We have a liberal progressive idea for an economic business climate here in the city, and you have 60% of black males under a certain age unemployed. These are all the byproducts, again, of leftist progressive ideas that have no clue how to create a strong economic business climate in the city of Milwaukee. Has no clue. And if you don't find some, you know, a productive job, what do you think people are going to do? They're going to do all makes and matters of what man should not be doing, from drug activity and all the black market and everything they're going to do, because you have a failed economic system, you have a failed school system, you have broken families, you have a broken community, and all the black elected officials and all the great white savior, white liberals think nothing of it, and they just turn their head because all they are more concerned with is the next election to make certain that a small group of people that vote for them over and over again keep electing them. And they don't have a clear conscience on really how to solve the problem, because they don't have the heart to do it. They don't have the stomach to do what it takes. That's the problem I have so much with the left, because you will not do the necessary things to change the city because you don't have the heart, the conviction, and let's be honest about it, you don't have the backbone to do it.
Well, you know, with the exception of my views that the same attitude toward vaccinations ought to prevail with regard to abortion, namely my body, my choice, we're very much on the same page, I think, with the vast majority of these issues. I think the Democrats really committed a calamitous political blunder by not being consistent in insisting, as they do vis-a-vis the pro-choice movement, my body, my choice, with regard to the vaccine. They should have persisted with my body, my choice. I think it would be ironic for the Republicans to use that same phrase, my body, my choice, but it seems to me to fit perfectly. I think if the Democrats had done that, the nation might have been very affected in a positive way, because as I see it now, because of the, you know, the travails, the trauma, the weariness with COVID, the mask mandates, the lockdown, schools, all this other stuff, working from home, the American people, like others around the world, are fed up with it, sick and tired of it, so that I foresee that Biden, at his State of the Union address on the 1st of March, is going to take the same measure Boris Johnson took Wednesday, where Boris relieved the UK of what he called his Plan B, mask mandates, passports, COVID, to go into public places and all that, wearing masks in schools, all that. He's relieved. I think he stole the thunder of Biden, because that's what I expect he's going to do on the 1st of March in his State of the Union. He's going to declare the pandemic is over and hope it's going to make a difference in relation to the midterm. But my opinion, Orlando, is all is lost between inflation, the open borders, making America energy dependent again, bungled withdrawal from Afghanistan, and the general overall authoritarian stance of the the Biden administration. I don't think he's got a ghost of a prayer. I'm predicting the loss of 100 seats in the House and 3 or 4 Senate seats. Interested in your take on all of the above.
Well, I totally agree. I think, you know, this administration out of Washington has shown itself to be ineffective and wrong-sided on so many issues. But I think my friend Ed Delgado, who's over at the Caramel Conservative, it's a podcast, if you guys check him out, he talks about this red wave that we have the opportunity, even here in Wisconsin, to reelect Ron Johnson, to elect Republicans up and down the ticket, and also in our local races. And that red wave also extends across this country. But the common theme, quite frankly, my friend, it is no different here in Wisconsin than it is in any other place. Either we can choose to be Georgia or we can choose to be Virginia. Georgia lost 2 Senate seats because people, frankly, didn't trust the system and they could not come together. Virginia flipped because the people did come together and they saw the hope. Either we as conservatives, not only here in Wisconsin with the battles with Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu and the Patriot groups and the county party groups, we have to find a way to come together across this nation. Our disdain and our hope and our ideal of freedom must have a higher playing level than our internal fighting against each other. Have your robust primaries, that's fine. But don't tear each other down to the point that we come out of the primaries battered and bruised and not for the better, spending all the money and we just killed each other. That red wave is definitely poised to do well. But if we can, if we don't come together, yes, then Joe Biden, they will win again in the midterms because we as conservatives cannot get ourselves together. That's my concern, my friend, that we push the people so hard and we push the division amongst us as freedom lovers and, you know, can call each other all sorts of names, you lose the opportunity. My campaign speech and my prayer is that we come together. Have debates, no doubt. Yes, have there been some missteps? Yes, there's been missteps. Yeah, everything wasn't always smooth. I get that. But you cannot be more angry with each other than we are with the things that we have to lose. That has to be the overriding theme here in Wisconsin, through all the states who have midterms. The idea of letting the other side win has to be more paramount to you than us having some small, you know, maybe some small issues here and there with each other. That has to be more of a pressing, driving issue for us to bury the hatchet amongst each other and come together. I'm preaching it again. I'm sorry, my friend.
No, I like it all. I think you're certainly on the right track. I do want to open the line for callers. The number, of course, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452, with Orlando Owens and me. Any of the questions or others you might like to raise are going to be most welcome. Mitchell will field your call. Just give us your first name in your state, and we'll get you on the air. I got to tell you how much I admire Ron Johnson, Orlando. I mean, you know, if you were going to work for somebody, he's the right guy to be working for. And, of course, he just held a special press conference with a whole host of experts on the vax and all that in opposition to the whole all the policies of the Biden administration. Would you care to comment on that?
Well, I mean, Ron has always been just consistent. If you remember back in his Tea Party days, what drove Ron Johnson to even get into politics was healthcare. And again, healthcare turns out to be another driving factor in his decision making to run for his third term. The first time was about Obamacare, and he's very very much in tune with the issue of healthcare because his daughter had a heart issue when she was born. And if it wasn't for Ron being blessed to have resources, she probably wouldn't have made it. And so that is something he's always had in the back of his head of this broken healthcare system. And now we fast forward, you know, into the third term, and now this another health crisis has pulled Ron Johnson back again into the fight on having people to have the ability, first and foremost, to have the right to try. and then just bringing the shining the light on the situation. Ron has never been against people who want a vaccination. He's always been open to say, well, let the people know the full story. Let them know everything, you know, that this is not, we don't have an answer to all this stuff, you guys. I think most conservatives, most people would say, if the government would have just came out and said, listen, we don't have this figured out quite yet. You think this might help, may not help some of you all, we're not certain. But at the end of the day, you guys got to make your own decision. We're trying to figure this thing out. We know it came from China. We know it came out of Wuhan, but we're trying to figure this thing out. You would have had more people, especially conservatives, to say, okay, because you've been square with me and you're saying you don't have it figured out yet, you would have more people to buy into the idea to say, well, let's see what's going on versus trying to mandate and force me to do something and give the impression that if you knew what was going on. Ron Johnson has been a firm believer that that's not the approach. Just like this whole so-called insurrection on January 6th. Ron has been very clear and consistent that anybody who crossed the line and went into the building, yes, they need to be prosecuted because that's too far. He's always supported the idea for people to have the right to protest, even if he didn't agree with your idea, what you're protesting for. But every American has the right to regress and protest. And he was right in what he said. Where he was in the building, he didn't see. He wasn't, you know, fearful. He didn't feel fear. And people got all up in arms and he said, well, if it was Antifa or BLM, he would have been more concerned. And that went over as a big shock to people. We just went through a summer of true insurrectionism when our cities burned down, state capitals burned down. He had a place in Seattle called the Chaz Zone. So don't tell me that Antifa didn't make some people, you know, hair on the back of their neck kind of stand up. If you said Antifa and Black Lives Matter was walking through the hallway, you'd be kind of concerned too. So stop telling me to lie. I'm from the city. You ain't gonna lie to me about it because I've seen it myself up close and personal. These people are destructive. That's not protest. And I'm not saying that Black Lives Matter, you know, was behind all the protests because Ron Johnson did a documentary that most of the protests we saw that got violent was a bunch of white boys throwing rocks and lighting things on fire, the Antifa types. So again, Ron Johnson is probably he is the target number one for the left to attack him, and everything he said kind of has turned out to be true, you know, fast forward a few months later. Now, yeah, he's not such a quack after all. Like, yeah, he's been saying this for a while. So yeah, I mean, he's shown me a lot of what it means to have strength under fire. What does it mean to have courage under fire? When even your own people believe someone like you may not support you. So he's been a great mentor for me in stepping into this realm of trying to run for office, which I've run for office before. But on this level, never run statewide. And I can tell you it's been a great ride already, my friend. Let's have them callers come on in. Let's take whatever you got from them.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Oh, my God.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, hello, Jim. Are you there? Hey, hello, Orlando. Are you doing okay over there?
I am.
Jim might have had to step away for a minute. My name's Mitch. I'm the producer here. Do you think we have a chance to change parts of this political system around that hasn't been so captured by, you know, not only the deep state, but this mass psychological capture of the political system by Republicans and Democrats. I often try to point out to people what they did with COVID. Essentially, they had already done with the political system by driving everybody into one set of groupthink, Republicans or Democrats. What do you think?
Well, I think you do. I think you are electing. I think the people have become more in tune to what's going on. I think when you have a very in tune voting population, then transparency has to happen. I think you have. We're at a time now that the conservative movement is asking for a different type of conservative fighter. And I think what's going to be the rule of the day moving forward, quite honestly, is going to be customer service and transparency. I come from the business world, worked also in social services as well, too. But one thing I can that's always been true is that you have to give great customer service to people. And so I don't think you're going to be able to do these things anymore. I think more people now are in tune with about their rights, how to form a regress, how to, you know, recall, how to run for. I think people have just now got they're fully got engaged, my friend, and there's no going back. I don't believe. I think we can't get away with what we had before. That's why we have this huge fight right now with the mandates and things like that that's going to the Supreme Court, because the people now are you know, they're woke again. They're like, well, wait a minute, what did this happen? Because we kind of fell asleep behind the wheel. So I think things can change, and I think they are going to change, because too many people that I've gone into alone this campaign trail are really just starving for a lot of transparency. They want you to just be honest with them. And quite frankly, they just really want great customer service. They don't want, you know, to go weeks without hearing from you. And if you could, people, especially conservatives, we can always process bad news better if you just give it to us straight and raw. Because as the old saying goes, bad news don't get better with time. Just tell me. And I think as adults, especially conservative adults, we have the ability to process things and make our own informed decision.
Oh, absolutely. Do you think that's part of the problem is government has wanted to become our nanny? And, you know, that do well for freedom.
Without a doubt, I think you have this whole mandate with the schools. One of the things that the left has done is really just attack a lot of the family structures. That's historically, and maybe that's for another show, but it's how they attack the black and brown and the poor families and destroy the family structure and the need for family structure by allowing government to be your significant other. And then if I just fast forward and keep it relevant to what's going on today, we didn't ask for government to be a co-parent or to be a co-signer. And that's what we have now. We didn't ask government to be our big brother. And I think for freedom-loving conservatives, this is really, you know, it's really hard for us because we never wanted the overreaching government. Liberals, on the other hand, you know, people who vote Democrat, because I really believe there's a difference between a Democrat, a liberal, and a progressive. But people who vote Democrat, they have become used to government supposedly having the answers. And so this doesn't seem all that uncomfortable for them. For us, who want very limited government, very, you know, little oversight in anything that we do, this is definitely intrusive to us. And this is definitely makes us angry because this is not the intent of this nation to be, you know, a government strong, you know, stronghold, especially from the federal government. Government to that is closer to the people has always been the best form. So this strikes us very as uncomfortable, un-American. But again, some people are used to living with the hammer of government always being wheeled over you. But that for freedom fighters like ourselves, that strikes us the wrong way. Strikes us the total wrong way.
Absolutely. Mitchell, there's Jim. Hey.
Well, Mitchell, I want to thank you for stepping in. No, I had just muted my mic as I had a phone call, and then I hadn't unmuted when
the show started.
You are very artful in stepping in. I so appreciate this. I think Orlando has a great deal to contribute in so many different ways, and I'm very appreciative of your exchange here with him right now. Please do continue.
Orlando, we do have a problem. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I'm following behind you again that we definitely need to, I think people who don't understand, and I'll just say it this way, people who don't understand what true freedom is, they see not much going wrong. You know, they see things that are not right. But freedom lovers and patriots and people believe in what the idea of liberty is, this is very much an overreach for us, and this makes us extremely uncomfortable.
Yes, I jokingly say, you know, we used to be wary of Big Brother. Now we have Big Mother Effer out here trying to, you know, be our nanny. And, you know, that's not freedom. And I think people have forgotten that to have freedom, we must fail. You know, that's part of success is failure. Part of failure, whether you realize it, is it's a success that you've learned a way not to do something. But it seems that people have this idea that government is the gilded cage. And with one more bar or one more service or one more thing that we can reach nirvana, you know, using government services, and that will never happen. So,
yeah, again, we have this thing backwards and we have it twisted. This is never the intent of the founding fathers. We've allowed this to get out of control, and we got to bring this thing back in. And I want freedom. I have a mom and a dad. They did their job when I was younger. I'm a grown man now. I don't need anybody being my big brother or my big, as you call them. But I don't need that either.
Yeah.
I don't need white liberals trying to be my savior. I just need white liberals to get out of my way.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I guess, you know, one of the things that I see is that one thing is that everybody has their own kind of individual solution of how they want to do something. And, you know, when government comes in, you know, and they force everybody to accept, you know, one solution, that really does destroy freedom and whole communities, because, you know, they will essentially shut down one part of a community, and it will, you know, they send the factory to Mexico or to China, and then they wonder why half of their jobs eventually, you know, left the community. And I don't think government shouldn't be in the business of creating jobs, but it certainly should not be in the business of helping send them to China, for example. So, you know, I believe we need to have a strong economy, and to do that, we need a local industrial base. And I believe every country in the world needs to bring their industrial bases to their own country to build wealth. And that's the way, you know, we traditionally build wealth in our economies. And, you know, we've seen it in Wisconsin, in Illinois, in Chicago, in Pittsburgh, in Philadelphia, and everywhere we've seen, you know, we saw everything essentially rust away. We used to have a steel belt. Now we just have the rust belt, and it's pretty much rusted away. So, go ahead. I'm sorry. I shut up now.
Oh, I think you've been doing great, Mitchell. Yeah, go ahead, Orlando. Let me say, by the way, you mentioned family with regard to the Marine Corps. I resigned my commission as a captain, ordered to enter graduate school in the history and philosophy of science, supervised recruit training at the Marine Corps Recruit Depot in San Diego, where I had 15 DIs and 300 recruits under my command in 11-week train cycles. We'd pick up one series after another. I have very great affection for the Marine Corps, which, you know, my father had served in the Army in World War II. He'd not seen combat. He'd been in an administrative role. But I figured if I were going to be in the armed forces, I wanted to be in a real military organization rather than a fake one. So, you know, the Marine Corps was very attractive to me.
I respect all our men and women. Thank you for your service as well, too.
So I'm really pleased to have you here, and I'm really hoping you do well in your campaign. Are there other issues you think we haven't discussed yet that would be appropriate to address?
For me, I just want people to go to my website and they can donate. We're trying to, you know, keep this thing going. I don't know if you have any callers that want to call in. I'll take any callers as well, too. But my website is my campaign website is Orlando, OrlandoFORWI.com. So Orlando for Wisconsin.com, which is Orlando, again, FORWI.com. That's my website, which you can go and donate there. You can mail me a check if you want to send your support. The checks will be made out to Friends of Orlando Owens. You'll mail that to 6901 North 40th Place. That's Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53209. And follow me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. I definitely want to follow you guys. And I want to hear more about what's going on. And I love what you guys do as far as getting the information out to people and having that, you know, having that connection to the grassroots is so vitally important that people hear, you know, hearing the, you know, unadulterated information. We get a lot of watered down stuff, but it's great that we have people like you who are freedom fighters who want the people to be equipped with knowledge.
Orlando, it appears to me that the Biden administration is in such dire shape that it not only wants to distract from developments such as the International Criminal Court complaint against Boris Johnson, Bill and Melinda Gates, Tony the Rat Fauci, and others, and the failure, where we have a new report now that in relation to the trials of Pfizer of the hundreds of women who are pregnant, they tested upon every one, lost her baby, every one of them. They want to distract from all this, and I think they're looking to Ukraine to try to provoke a war with Russia as a way of diverting the attention of the American people. What's your assessment of the situation there vis-a-vis Russia, Ukraine, Vladimir Putin, and the rest of it?
Well, I'll be honest. I'm not the most, intellectual piece when it comes to the international foreign policy. So I won't make any assertions that I totally understand. But I do understand this. The enemies of America are still very prevalent. The enemies of freedom are still very prevalent. I'll leave it at that.
Well, Donald Trump came into office wanting to improve relations with Russia, and he was, of course, savaged over that, I think, highly inappropriately. I mean, what could be more beneficial to the United States and its national security than having cordial relations with the world's other nuclear superpower, though it would appear China is rapidly developing its nuclear capabilities? I mean, do you think that good relations with Russia is desirable, or are you inclined to view Russia as a threat to America?
I think, we have peace through strength. We need to have a strong military presence, a strong military at all times. That is the first paramount role of government in any free nation, is having a strong apparatus to defend our borders and defend our interests. So I don't mind peace talks, but the peace talk has to always have a very strong enforcement piece. Sure, go in first with the carrot, but we always got to have a stick, because again, the enemies of freedom, the enemies of America, and our interests are always plotting and always trying to manipulate and move on us. So we have to have diplomatic relationships, without a doubt. We should be careful on some of the people that we do speak to, but in the end, you do have to have some relationships with people, at least working relationships with nations that may not see the things we see the way we see it here in America. But I think, peace through strength. I think there was another Ronald Reagan concept that you must be ready to, you get peace because you have strength. And I think we need to make certain that we have that strength and not allowing things like CRT to soften our military and pose a divide. You wonder why you don't have patriots for this country when you push CRT into schools and, in any form you want to call it, to hate our country. Then who do you think will be the next line of fighters who are willing to die for the idea of freedom? When you say this country is fundamentally racist, what black student would even want to come back to school the next day? This is one of the, misconceptions of what these people are really doing. They want us to put more money into education for you to further teach young black kids and poor kids that America is fundamentally racist. Why would I come back every day to do that if I don't have a chance to make it? Because if what you say is true, then I can never make it in this country in the first place. It doesn't matter how much education I get, because I can't make it. If what you say is true, that the white boy is a racist, there's no hope for him, he might as well just become a racist, because there's no redemptive nature about him at all. I'm sorry, my friend. I'm getting my Irish up again.
No, Orlando, I'm all with it. I mean, how can this be a racist nation? I mean, most of our celebrities are black, football pro, NBA black. We elected a black president twice, I mean, by large majorities. I think that's just nonsense. In my opinion, America is among the least racist countries in the world. So what has happened here, in an effort to destroy this great nation, they have sought to exacerbate tensions that had been long resolved, taking down statues to great Americans that was a part of the reconciliation between the North and the South, conducting all these riots, BLM and Antifa, which were supported by the Democrat Party. You had Nancy Pelosi out there urging him on, Kamala Harris, obviously Mad Maxine, all saying, there should be more of this, when it was completely outrageous. And it seems to me they're doing everything they can to make racial relations worse, where this guy Biden, who claimed he was going to be a unifier, has turned out to be precisely the opposite. Your thoughts?
I think you're spot on. Again, if you have this type of teaching in our military, what type of military force do you think we're building here? If you have a young man who wants to become women, who are competing against our women in women's sports, I mean, up is down and in is out. That's what we're facing right now. We're becoming more and more godless as a country and as a nation. We have to have a strong military because their evil is persistent. And if you continue to make, you know, your first allegiance is first to God, to family, and to country. And if you don't have prayer in the schools anymore, they want to outlaw the Pledge of Allegiance. You have teachers who are having clear, open Marxist signs and, you know, communist signs in the classroom, who take down the American flag and put up a gay pride flag. You know, we are just, what type of military fighter do you think we want to have? Are we naive that racism is a lie? We know racism is a lie. It's just not as prevalent as people think it is. We know that's true. You know, we have races all over, right? But you have more good people than you have bad. That's the narrative, again, the nothing more than a Marxist idea. You take out class and you invoke race. This is nothing but Marxism. CRT, the 1619 Project, it's nothing but the same. To stoke more division, to say, I hate America. Again, how do you explain why people can kill each other the way they do in the inner cities of America? Because they don't love America. They don't believe they belong here. They don't own it. So it's like a renter. A renter doesn't necessarily care about the grass and the trash in the grass because I rent. But as soon as you own the home, you start to have pride to that home. If you believe and you pump these people's heads and say America doesn't love you, then they don't care about America. They don't care about the streets. They don't care about, you know, the freedoms we have here because they've been taught forever they don't belong here. You can't be surprised when people don't care about America. They don't care about their neighbor. Again, I'm getting worked up. Let me calm down.
Well, Orlando, I think it's great because we need politicians who care about the issues, and it's obvious you care about the issues. And I'm delighted Rolf recommended that I feature you on the show. I wish you well. Again, in a few minutes like that remain, perhaps you could just reiterate why you're running for office and why you believe you deserve the public support.
Well, I'm running for office because I really love my country and I believe in freedom. I still believe in my liberties and I love my country. I don't necessarily think I deserve the people's, you know, support. Only thing I can ask for is to go out and earn it. And I believe I want to work hard for it. I still believe in liberty, man. I still believe in my country. I still believe there, you know, that Wisconsin can be a beacon of conservative thinking, a conservative idea that the nation can turn to. I still believe that America is still worth fighting for.
Yep, that's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. I'm so pleased to have you here, Orlando. I think that we are at a great divide, that the Democrats are doing everything they can to perpetuate their control of future elections by the Voting Rights Act, which was they were promoting in the name of Martin Luther King Jr. Orlando, I thought that was completely outrageous because they really were seeking to enable the theft of elections by mail-in balloting where there was no ID required, as mandatory across the nation. I mean, Martin believed that we should, and in relation to critical race theory, I mean, what could be more obvious that the Democrats have gone off the rails when Martin insisted, desired a time when men are judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. The Democrats have reversed that. I mean, it, to me, it's staggering. It's mind-boggling that the Democrat Party could have become the party of racism in 2022.
Well, again, this is where the conservative freedom fighters have to come together. Because if I'm transparent, and I tend to be always that, most people of color tend to be morally conservative but socially liberal. That's because we still believe in the idea, typically, of the idea of traditional marriage. We still believe in the concept of life and also believe in freedom. But since you have a failed economic system, that forces us to become more liberals, because we have to support and we have to believe and, you know, wait for a handout from government. That erosion of our true ability to make our own way has made us dependent. And now again, the ideas of King about being able to be judged by the content of my character, my heart, not by our skin, goes out of the window because I become dependent. King was always talking about being able to be free, and true freedom. What they really were marching for was economic freedom, for a man only had a right to work. That's all he wanted, to have a right to take care of his family. That's what he was fighting for. And the men and the black and the white conservatives who were out there marching with him with their fists in the sky also, saying these oppressive laws are wrong. People should have a right to vote. They should have a right to live and pursue happiness. This is America. And this is what King talked about. If we've allowed the left, because one of the things, quite honestly, I think some of these conversations, we have lost a black conservative voice. I love Candace Owens. I love Alan West. I love Tim Scott. I love Thomas Sowell. But we have to have more voices that can speak, you know, who can speak to this void out here, who can go to those communities and say, hey, that's wrong thinking. See, it's strange to me that we teach these young black and brown, these poor people, poor whites, that you can go out and you can compete on a basketball court, on a football field, and there's nothing that you cannot do on that football field because all things are equal. But it don't take that same concept to the classroom. It is so oxymoronic when you see these different philosophies going on. They teach every kid who can bounce a ball that you can be the next LeBron James no matter what. You can be the next Aaron Rodgers no matter what. But you don't tell them they can be the next Thomas Sowell no matter what. You don't tell them they can be the next economist no matter what, the next Ben Carson no matter what, the next Condoleezza Rice no matter what, the next Thurgood Marshall, or the next Clarence Thomas. You don't tell them that, Herman Cain. It's ridiculous that you tell them they can be everything they want to about being a rapper or you can throw a ball a mile, but we don't tell them you can also compete in the classroom. That America, if you do three things, I used to work in juvenile corrections. If you do three things, America is a great place and you have a great opportunity. If you can leave, if you can give school a chance, if you can not have children before your time, and if you leave the law alone, America has a great thing they can offer you.
Orlando Owens, it's been great having you on the show, and I wish you good luck in your campaign. I wish you well. Thanks for being here. See everyone else on Wednesday for the event.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle, live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, the perfect triangle with perfect Giuseppe triangle. From the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict, but...